Today's daf is Chul and daf Kuf Chav Gimel. We are holding in daf Kuf Chav Beis. I'm Beis. We're holding at the two dots, I think. The last two dots. The Kul and Shi Ibdan. So we were discussing yesterday. We had a Mishnah yesterday that was discussing that which is Orosehen Kibisaran. Those animals or those beings that the Or is like the Basar. The Or is soft enough that it's like the Basar. So at the end of the Mishnah, we said the Kul and Shi Ibdan or Shi Hilich Ben Kdei Avoda Tahorin Chutz Me Or HaAdam. That even these animals that have particularly soft skin, soft hide, if you are ma'abid them, if you tan them and you turn them into leather, well then certainly they no longer have a din of basar, except for our adam. Our adam, even if you work it and you tan it, it will still have a din of basar. So says the Gemara, hilach in lo hilach lo, that only if you actually did something to turn it into leather is it then going to be considered leather. But if you just designated it to become leather but didn't actually do anything, it would still have a din of basar. Ivatani Rabichia, but is that really true? Didn't Rabbi Chiya teach us ozen chamor shetala lekupaso tahora? Didn't Rabbi Chiya teach us that if you have the ear of a donkey which you use as a leather patch for a basket, so even though you didn't yet use the basket, you just put it on the basket as a patch, so you basically all you really did was designate it for use as a piece of a basket rather than as a piece of meat, so it's going to lose its tumas nevela because it's not going to be considered basar anymore. So don't you see that just designating it is enough to take away the tumas status? You don't actually have to do anything with it. And says the Gemara, tala afalgav de lo hilech, lo tala hilech in lo hilech. Now, when you put it, attach it to a basket, so then you've done something with it. Then you don't need to do any further action to be mevatel tumah status. But when you didn't do anything with it yet, you just designated in your mind, like in the case of our Mishnah, where you have these animal skins, so then only if hilech in, lo hilech lo, then only if you've actually gone on it, you've actually moved it. But if you haven't moved it, then you haven't walked on it, you haven't worked it, then it's not going to lose its tumah status, its status as basar. So that's the answer. Now, kama kidei ibud. How much is kidei ibud? At what point do we say, okay, now it has been processed enough to the point where it will be considered leather? Amrafuna marbianai arba'as milin. The amount of time that you need to be walking on it is the amount of time that it takes to walk 4 mil. So roughly 72 minutes, the amount of time it takes to walk 4 mil. Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Reish Lakish, on the side it switches it to Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Reish Lakish, instead of Rabbi Avo, Mishum Dresh Lakish Amar, I'm not sure what the difference is. Legabel ulutfila ulunitilis yadayim arba'as milin. That this din of arba'as milin applies in three places. It applies by legabel, litfila, and the Netilas Yadayim. So each one of these is a discussion, and really all the outside discussion we'll have in today's daf will be probably on these three, four words. When it comes to legabel, what does legabel mean? So Rashi says, we're talking about a person who is megabel dough for other people. He needs dough for other people. He gets paid for it. And the kalim that he has to be megabel are tame kalim. So he has to be matriach himself up until 4 mil to go find a mikvah to be tovel the kalim in. But if there's no mikvah within 4 mil, then he doesn't have to be matriach himself any further to be tovel the kalim. Now this sugya appears in Maseches Pesachim Daf Mem Vav. One of the major rishonim of Maseches Pesachim is the Rabbeinu David. So Rabbeinu David in Maseches Pesachim asks on Rashi that mimanufshach, if we're talking about what was the deal when the guy hired you to knead his dough? If we're talking about a case where he hired you to knead his dough, bitahara, so I don't, even if it's more than 4 mil away, you can't just say, oh, well, it's too hard for me to find a mikvah, so I'm going to make a tameh. You're not allowed to make a bitumah. You were hired to make a bitahara, and you'd have to go even more than 4 mil. And if you were not makabal on yourself to do a bitahara, so why do you have to go anywhere? You shouldn't have to go at all. You should just make a bitumah. So he says, maybe what Rashi means to say is that if it's more than 4 mil away, you can quit the job and you could say, look, I can't do it, and return his stuff and just not need the dough. Maybe that's what Rashi needs. But Tosos over here asks on Rashi a different kasha. The Gemara is going to say soon that when we talk about these 4 mil, that's only the fun of. That's only 4 mil in front of you. Avali acharav lo, but to go backwards 4 mil, that you're not required to do. So Tosos asks on Rashi, what does that mean in this context? So if we're talking about a person who from his house or from his shop is being megabel do for other people. He's not holich b'derech. He's not traveling somewhere where there's a lefanav and a la'achrav, where he's going, south on the turnpike and going toward the lower number of exits is lefanav and the higher number of exits is li'achrav. That's not what he's doing. He's at his home. So what does it mean lefanav li'achrav? The words are chaser mashmos. They don't mean anything. So Rashi, for his part, says, yeah, lefanav li'achrav aren't going on this case of legabel. Lefanav li'achrav are going on someone who's holich b'derech. And we're talking about by tefillah and netilas daim. When the Gemara makes that that statement of the fun of liachrav, it's going on the other two cases of tefillah and netilas daim, not going on gibul. But Tulsa says that's very dachlik to say such a thing. Now the Nod Bihuda and Tinyana Yardeya Siman Lametes doesn't understand why Rashi has to say that we're talking about where you're megabel other people's dough for pay. Why doesn't he just say you're megabel your own dough and you're ochel chulin betara? That up until 4 mil, you have to be mahadir to be tovel and to make your chulin betara, to observe your minag. More than that, you're allowed to violate your own minag and be osa betuma. So he doesn't understand why Rashi has to say that it's dafka that you're being hired by other people. The Rambam actually does say it's talking about your own dough, but the Rambam says another idea that this is all based on. He says it's really about challah, it's about chiva for freshes challah. That's why you need to maintain the tara status, because you can be mafresh challah, it's going to be tameh. You're not allowed to be metameh truma lechadchila. Challah is a din of truma, you can't be metameh the challah. So the Rambam understands it's about that issue. Fine, so that's all about legabel. What's the next thing? Letfila. You also need to go 4 mil when it comes to tefillah. So there are several different shittos in Rishonim what that means. Rashi says that if you have a shul that's the closest shul will be a distance of traveling 4 mil. So you're traveling on the road and you're not in your hometown where you obviously have a shul in your hometown. Right? You live in a place where there's a shul, but you're traveling on the road and the closest shul to get to is 4 mil in front of you. So you have to go up until 4 mil in front of you to daven in a shul. But to go backwards on your journey, you don't need to go more than 1 mil. So the Meiri and the Rashi Mishantim Psachim quote Rashi as saying slightly differently. Not only about while you're traveling, how much further you have to go, but when you're deciding where to spend the night while you're traveling, when you're deciding where to go on vacation, so you have to go 4 mil out of your way in order to sleep in a city that has a minyan in it, in order to stay in a place that's going to have a minyan available to it. But the kasha that the Achronim ask is, where do they know that? Where do they see Rashi ever says such a thing? Especially, and how do we know that you have such a chiyuv? Right now you're not davening. It's not the zman of tefillah right now. It's about sleeping so that tomorrow you'll be able to daven shachris. Mechi tesi that there's a chiyuv to coordinate in advance that you're going to be within a certain distance of a minyan when you wake up to daven shachris. Now, it's logical. It's logical that that you should always have to coordinate in advance to make sure that you're going to be able to do all the mitzvahs, not only davening, but that's the discussion the Achronim have over here. There is a further discussion whether when Rashi says to go to shul, it's about shul or it's about minyan. Do you have to go more than the 4 mil to daven dafke in the Beis HaKnesses, because there's a mile of davening in the Beis HaKnesses even without a minyan, or it's about going to shul? I think we once discussed in the past what exactly, there's a major discussion in the Achronim, what exactly the chiv of minyan is, whether there is an actual chiv of minyan or it's just a phenomenal maila in tefillah. There's a Gemara in Brachos of Zainam and Beis where they asked one of the Amoraim why he didn't come to shul, and they said, and in asking the question they said, how could you not come to shul to daven? Ani tefilasi l'cha Hashem eis ratzon. The only eis ratzon is b'sha Hashem espalim atzibur, that when you daven together with the tzibur, that's an eis ratzon. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mois b'tefilas and shal rabim. So you see, there's such great value in davening b'tzibur. So the Emek Bracha writes that based on that Gemara, it seems that it's a priority to daven b'tzibur, because Rav Nachman's response to that question was, yeah, but it was tricholi milso. It was too much of a hassle to get to shul, so I didn't daven with a minyan. What do you mean too much of a hassle? Is it too much of a hassle to take lulav and esrog? Too much of a hassle to eat matzah? You do it when it's a hassle. Mitzvah is a p'tur from sukkah. It's not a p'tur from any other mitzvah, from any other chiyuv. So the Emek Bracha says, you see from there, that davening with a minyan is a maila. It's great. It helps your tefillah a great deal, but it's not an actual chiyuv. Where Shachar always says it over, that tefillah b'tzibur is the icing on the cake, but it's not the cake. itself. The Ramban in Parshas Emor says that the Yom Tovim are called Mekra'i Kodesh because there was a unique gathering on Yom Tovim. That in Shabbos and Yantif there's a Chiyuv to Daven B'tzibur, which implies that during the week it's less than a Chiyuv, it's a Maila. Rav Moshe, however, disagrees with this entirely. Rav Moshe, based on this Gemara, based on our Sugya, Rav Moshe says, what are you talking about? We're saying that you have to travel an extra 72 minutes just to find a minyan. It's not talking about Shabbos and Yantif. It's talking about when you're traveling, you have to go 72 minutes out of your way in order to be able to go find, or at least, not 72 minutes, 40 minutes, out, 36 minutes out of your way, because you got to go back a meal and then make up that time again. You have to go 36 minutes out of your way in order to do it. And look what else is on the list. Netilas Yadayim is on the list over here. What, that's not a chiyuv either? That's also optional? Well, of course Netilas Yadayim is a chiyuv. The Bir Halacha in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim says that we base this on time, not on distance. So nowadays it would be way more than a meal. You'd have to drive in your car for 36 minutes. It could be a very long drive in order to go out of your way. So if you wake up late for davening, for instance, and you have to, and davening at a later minyan, people are not as much in a rush as the people that have to daven at the earlier minyan, because for whatever reason they're retired, they have plenty of time on their hands, whatever it is. So you have to cheshbon, how much time is that going to cost you? So if the later minyan will cost you an extra hour, because the next train is an hour later, by davening at the later minyan, it's going to cost you an extra hour beyond what you overslept. That doesn't count. It's going to cost beyond what the amount of time it would have taken. So Rav Yashav holds you could have me yichidus because you only have to be matriarch yourself 40 minutes. So, but that's the gather. Now, why, if it's a chiyuv, why only a meal? Shouldn't you have to be matriarch yourself more? So the Rav Moshe explains that when they were misaking these mitzvahs to Rabbanon, it comes with a certain limit. These mitzvahs to Rabbanon were built in with a certain limit. There's a Gemara in Brachos Daf Mem Zayin that you could free an eved for a minyan, which is a mitzvah derabim. So Rashi says the mitzvah's kedusha. So maybe Rashi holds it's only a maila to daven b'tzibur because it says the mitzvah is kedusha. That's why he doesn't say the mitzvah of tefillah b'tzibur, because tefillah b'tzibur maybe he holds is only a maila. But Tosus says it's tefillah b'tzibur. Sounds like Tosus holds that it's a mitzvah, that it's a chiyuv. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Ches says that someone used to daven at home, but once Abaye heard that Abaye used to daven at home, but once Abaye heard Ein la kodesh baruch hu ba'olamo el dal ramo shel halacha, he only wanted to daven in the place that he learns. So the Rambam says that this assumes there was a tzibur in the Beis HaMedrash, but if there was no tzibur in the Beis HaMedrash, he certainly wouldn't give up tefillah b'tzibur in order to daven in the place where he learns, and the Mechaber paskins that way. So that it's all about tefillah b'tzibur. Rabbeinu Yonah and the Torah write that davening in the Beis HaMedrash is even more important than tefillah b'tzibur. Davening in a place where you learn, so if you have a maila where you're able to have a daf yomi and then daven in the same place, then you have both mailas. You have the makom shalomed and in the it's a tefillah b'tzibur, hopefully. So the Gemara in Brachos also says ain't tefillah shalom nishnas el beis haknesses. There's a separate maila of beis haknesses of davening in a shul that even when you don't have a minyan. Okay, so there are a lot of nafkaminas in terms of whether it's a maila or whether it's an absolute chiyuv. If a person is going on vacation, or Shlomo Zalman Orbach says you don't have to go more than a meal to a minyan because it's an onus rachman apatre, but you shouldn't put yourself in such a situation. You should try to vacation in places where there is a minyan. It's a question whether it's better to daven with a minyan before Nates or be yichidus after Nates. So if tefillah b'tzibur is a maila, so then maybe it's better to daven after Nates without a minyan than to daven before Nates. But if tefillah b'tzibur is a chiyuv, then maybe better to daven before Nates. So there are a lot of issues that are totally on this discussion about tefillah b'tzibur. But that's what Rashi says l'tefillah means. The Aruch says l'tefillah means doesn't mean to go to daven with a minyan. No, l'tefillah means to go wash your hands for davening. If there's no sink or water near the shul, so to go wash your hands for davening, you have to go up until four meal. That's how the Aruch understands. Rabbi Nadavim Psachim says, wait a second, no, that would be included in the next statement of the Gemara, where the Gemara says Netilas Sidayim. You don't need a separate clause in the Gemara to tell me that. That's covered in Netilas Sidayim. What you see from Rabbi Nadavim is that he doesn't disagree. He thinks you do have to walk four meal in order to wash your hands before davening, that it's an absolute chiv to wash your hands before davening. But he says that's not what the Gemara means by this line. It's a perush hamilim machlokas. Rabbeinu Hananel has a fascinating interpretation. He says no, the tefillah means to go to the mikveh before davening. That's how you have to go four mil in order to be able to go to the mikvah before davening. Mishal Sechubas Min HaShemayim in Siman Hey, he has a whole arichas about how important it is to be tovel before tefillah and before limud. I, Takanas Ezra, that we no longer have to be tovel for Bal Keri. So the Machlokas Rishonim, Tosos discusses whether that's true even when it comes to davening or only when it comes to learning. Does a Bal Keri not have to be tovel just to daven? Now we're obviously makel on both, but anyway, that's how Rabbeinu Chananel understands. Rabbeinu David understands that when we say to be mispalel, it means that if a person really has to go to the bathroom, so if he's able to hold it in for four mil, then it's not a violation of Bal Teshaktu, he's allowed to daven. But if he doesn't think he's going to be able to hold it in for that long, then it would be a violation of Bal Teshaktu, his tefillah is going to be considered a toeva. And that's what Shulchan Aruch and Aruchayim Simon Sadi Beis, if Elephant Beis, says that explicitly. And if you have to go to the bathroom, you're not able to hold yourself a shir parsa is dalid milin, al yispalel, then you shouldn't daven. But if you started beheter and then sometime in the middle of the tefillah you realize that you have to go to the bathroom, but you're not going to be able to hold yourself in ad parsa, so you're allowed to, but you will be able to hold yourself in long enough to finish the tefillah, then you are allowed to finish the tefillah, particularly when you're betzibur and there's an issue of kavod abrios. When a friend of mine, a rav in a different shul, told me that he was he's not even the rav, he's the assistant rabbi, and he was there yom narayim, and the rabbi was in a different minyan. And the chazan in Musaf, middle of Yom Kippur, calls him over, motions him to come over, and he comes over, and the chazan turns his siddur to Asher Yatzar, and he points to Asher Yatzar. He's middle of Chazar Sashat, he's pointing to Asher Yatzar. He's like, what's he asking? What is it? The guy really needed to go to the bathroom, so he wanted to know what to do. Do you go to the bathroom in the middle of Chazar Sashat? It was obviously an emergency. I don't think a chazan would do that the second he feels a little bit of an urge. Mestama was at a point where it's filasa toeva, where he couldn't hold it in anymore. So what are you going to do? So but there's a covenant abuse issue. But what can you do in that situation? All right. So anyway, so the Gemara says, and also for netilas yadayim, you have to travel. So Tos Rabbeinu Peretz asked, wait a second. We had a Gemara earlier that said that notaladam yadav shachris umasna leim l'kol hayom, that you can wash your hands once in the morning and that can cover you for the whole day as long as you make it tonight. That it's going to work for all day, for the entire day. So Tos Rabbeinu Peretz is matarit that we're talking about where you didn't do that. You didn't wash in the morning with such a tanai. If you did wash with such a tanai, then in Achnami you won't have to travel at all for Netilas Yadayim. Then he answers that even if you did make such a tanai, maybe you still have to go Dalin Milin. The tanai only helps if there's no water within Dalin Milin. Maybe that's what the Gemara means. That whole Gemara, the Masaleim, and it covers you for Kalayom, is only in a situation where you can't find water available within Dalin Milin. What if there is no water available within Dal Milim? Now what do you do? Good, you have to go up until 4 Milim. There is no water within 4 Milim. Now what do you do? Are you allowed to eat? So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Yichroch b'mapa v'yochal, you wrap your hands in a cloth and you eat that way. That it's only mutter to eat. You're not allowed to eat without washing unless you wrap your hands in a mapa. And the Mishburu quotes Achronim that the same is true if you're Mesupuk, if you're going to find Mayim, that you're allowed to wrap your hands in a mapa and then eat. But that's only, says the Mishnah Brewer in the name of the Ritva, that's only if a person is very weak from traveling and he really needs to eat. But Stam, he'd like to eat, that's not enough. Not enough of a reason to rely on Kriecha B'mapa. For children, certainly enough of a reason to rely, again, assuming that there's no water within Dalad Mil, which is not really so practical nowadays. There's always water within Dalad Mil. It's very, very hard to find a place where you're not going to have any water within Dalad Mil nowadays. Okay, so those are the three cases where we have a din of Dalad Milin. Amrav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Ivo Amrav. Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, Ivo said this. This wasn't the statement of Rabbi Avo, it was the statement of Ivo. Va'arba'i Amar Ba. And he actually said four things that have a shear of four mil. V'chadam inayu avoda. And one of them is the ibud of the oros that we're speaking about in our Mishnah. That how long does it take until you turn a soft skin into leather? It takes four mil worth of, the amount it takes to walk four mil of trampling on it until it turns it into leather. Fine, Amr of Yosef Rebchanina, Lo Shonu El Lefanav, Avliach Rav Afilu Mil Echad Einu Chozer. That's only, this whole discussion was only in terms of going forward for a meal, but to go backward, even a meal Echad, you don't have to go back. Now, afilu milach reinu chazer, all the says the Gemara, Ravacha bar Yaakov amar umina mil hudeinu chazer, pach mil chazer. Afilu, you might have gotten the impression that you don't even have to go back one mil, and maybe even less also. But no, the Gemara says you don't even have to go back one mil, but anything less than one mil, you do have to go backwards. That's what the Ra'ah points out, that from here you see that anytime the Gemara uses the word afilu, it means dafka. Afilu, even though it sounds like an inexact expression, we dafka pick an exact number when we say afilu. That up until that point, you don't have to go back, but beyond that point, you would have to go back. Fine. Tan Rabbanan, ligayon ha'over mimakom lemakom. If you have troops in an army that are traveling from one place to another place, and they're going and they're fighting, waging battles, etc., v'nichnas the bayis, and they go into a house, habayis tame. They have to assume that the house is tame. Why? Shein lecha kal ligayon v'ligayon, meaning you have to assume once they've entered a house, once the troops have entered, that the house is tame. Shein lecha kal ligayon v'ligayon, shein lo kama karkaflin, that there is no such thing as troops that don't have several karkaflin, scalps of people's heads, from skinned off of people's heads. Rashi, karkaflin, or rosh adam mace, the scalps of dead men. V'zelemach shefus b'melchama. They use it as a form of kishuf in helping them fight the wars. V'al tatame, and don't wonder about this, that this may sound a little strange, because we know from Jewish history that they used to scalp people. Shari karkaflo shel Rabbi Yishmael, munach barosh malachim, the karkaflo of Rabbi Yishmael, when they skinned him, so his scalp was placed on the heads of kings. The Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah goes into detail in describing this in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph, Amar Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel, Oda Cheres Yesh Lem Baromi, once every 70 years they had the practice, they would take an Adam Shalem, a person who was perfectly healthy, they would sit him on top of the shoulders of a cripple, they would dress him up in the Begadim of Adam Arishon, and they would put the scalp of Rabbi Yishmael on his head. It was a sign of victory or whatever it was. Taras Chaim over there says that the purpose in doing this was to show that they have Malchus, Kahuna, and Nevius, which was all the Koach of Klal Yisrael. They were trying to show in Rome that they had all of these things. So they'd be marking him on an Adam Chigar to show that their Malchus is a Molech over us, that the Klal Yisrael is the cripple, and they are the Adam Shalem. They'd be Malbish B'Levusha Shal Adam Rishon, which is a remise to Kahuna, because the Medrash and Breishis Rabbah says, V'yas Hashem Elokim La'Adam L'Ishto Kasnos Or, which the Bechoros were Mishtamesh, and it was when the avoda was b'becharos, it was for the becharos to be mishtamish, to use those, that clothing. And manichlo karkaflo shorbi shmol brosha, that's a remis to nevua of Avdei Kochavim, that there were dorish ma'onim kosmim to try to figure out the future. That was the whole celebration. They were saying that they have all, they're in control. But the point is, from Argomar's perspective, that you see this was some sort of disgusting minig that they had to use human scalps. So that's why you have to assume that there was tuma. Now you have to assume there's tuma in the house. Must mean that you're assuming they had Jewish human scalps, because a meseyakum are mitame, but not ba'ohel. Meseyakum are not mitame ba'ol. Now mikra din, we're machmir even lechatchila for a kohen not to be mitame ba'ol to meseyakum. Shulchan Aruch says we're machmir lechatchila, but the large majority of Rishonim in the Pashup Pshar and the Gemara certainly is that meseyakum are not mitame ba'ol. So mistama, we're talking about, we assume that they've killed Jews and they have Jewish scalps around. Okay. New Mishnah. Hamafshit bebehema b'chaya tahora b'tmeya b'dako b'gasa. If a person skins an animal, or whether it be a domesticated animal, a wild beast, a kosher animal, non-kosher animal, small animal, large animal, l'shatiach, but he's skinning it in order to have a rug, in order to have to use the skin as a throw or a rug or something like that, so k'dei achiza, the shear of transference of tumah is going to be k'dei achiza, that once you've skinned enough off that there's that you could grab on to that skin, that's considered a chibur of yad to transfer tuma to and from the basar of the nevela. Meaning, if let's say you're tahar and you touch that kedei achiza, so it's going to make you tame. Or let's say the animal's not a nevela; the animal's been shechted. It's a kasher shechita. So the animal's tahara, but the basar is subject to tumas ochlin, and you're tame, and you touch that kedei achiza, so that could transfer the tuma to the basar. But more than that, it's no longer considered a yad. Once you've skinned off more than a kedei achiza, then the skin that you've peeled off is not considered a yad anymore to transfer the tuma to the animal. That's the shear. Ulchamas ad sheyafshet esachaze. And if you're skinning the animal in order to make a jug, so then the skinning would be done in a totally different way. It wouldn't be done like opening it up like a book, like you would do for making a rug. So you would do it from the top to the bottom of the animal. So then only when you start with the neck and you would skin down to make a jug out of it. So then they would make these large jugs full of animal skins. They would have animal skins that would hold liquid for them. So they would have to keep it whole. They wouldn't cut it down the middle. They would cut it at the top around and skin it down in one full piece. So for chamas achi yafshit asachaza, until you skin off the breast of the animal, so that's when it's still considered a yad. Hamargil kulo chibur l'tuma l'tamei l'tamei. If you're margil, meaning you start the cutting from the legs of the animal and you go up toward the head of the animal and you skin it that way, l'chamas, so then it's all a chibur because the chaza is only going to be done, you're only going to skin the breast at the end of the hefshet, at the end of the skinning, therefore it's considered a chibur for tuma up until that point. Or shalatzavar, the skin that's around the neck of the animal, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri omer einu chibur. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says is not considered chibur. V'chamar mechibur ashi yafshet es kulo. It's more loose hanging skin. So the Chachamim say it's considered chibur until you skin it off entirely. Fine. Mikan ve'elach mai. Once you were mafshit kidei achiza, so and you're being mafshit further. So then what's the din? If you look at Rashi, mikan ve'elach mi shehifshit kidei achiza bepishut al panei kulo. La'achar shesadko minatzavar. Once you've gone from the you've cut it around the neck, adazanav until the tail, be'emtsa'is kederach hamafshitin v'hivshit kedei achiza svivos kulo. You've already been mafshit kedei achiza. So then what's the din? So I'm a Rav. Tahar hamufshat. So Rav says tahar hamufshat until the place where it's connected to the animal, it's completely tahar. But from the place where it's connected to the animal and further, it's tameh because that in that place, it's the skin is still a shomer over the basar of the animal. So then it's still going to be able to transmit tumah. But the part that's already been, the entire part that's already been skinned off is tahar. Rabbi Asi amar tefach hasamach lebasar tameh. Rabbi Asi says even that part that's already been skinned, but the closest tefach to the basar is to the part that hasn't been skinned is still going to be tameh. So not only is the part that's still connected to the animal tameh, the tefach closest to it is also tameh. So the Gemara is going to try to bring rayas one way or the other. Three rayas. Number one, meisvei amafshit because shirazem ikan ve'elachanugeh b'mufshat tahar. So from then there on, it's going to be tahar. My love afil b'tefach samach basar. Doesn't that mean that once you've skinned it that much, that even every last bit that you've skinned off is going to be tahar, even the last tefach closest to the basar? Lo, levad mitefach samach lebasar. No, not a raya. Maybe it means aside from that tefach that samach lebasar. Raya number two, tashma. But orsha keneged basar tamei, orsha keneged basar tamei, abetefach samach lebasar tahar, says that the or that's keneged the basar is tamei, sounds like, yeah, only the or that's still attached to the basar is tamei, but the tefach samach is going to be tahar. So tana called tefach samach lebasar, orsha keneged basar karile. No, you have to know the terminology. When it says tefach samach lebasar, when it says orsha keneged basar, it means including the tefach samach lebasar. So that's not a raya that the tefach samach lebasar is not considered to be tamei. Tashma, third raya. Hamafshit bebehemo bechaya betorah betmeya bedako begasul l'shtiach kidei achiza. And then the Tosefta continues v'tefach hasamuch lebasar tahar. So you can't have a much better raya than that. It says beferish that the tefach hasamuch lebasar is going to be tahar. It's like the part of the animal that's already been skinned. Sachamayaskinon betefach rishon. So he says no, that's not talking about tefach hasamuch lebasar. That's talking about tefach rishon. What's tefach rishon? Says Rashi hasamuch lekidei achiza. achiza, kigon shlo hifshit ela tfachayim. Let's say you've only been mafshit two tfachim in total. So da also tefach hasamach l'kdei achiza eino ochiz bo umoshech l'fi shenoach l'lechus b'sfas ha'or. So you're only going to grab on to the edges. You're not going to grab to this tefach that's samach to the kdei achiza. You're not going to use it as a yad. And therefore, it's at that point, at least, you're not going to use it as a yad. But as Rash says, but once you've already cut more than four or five tefachim away, so then you'll even grab onto the tefach hasamach lebasar. So when is the tefach hasamach lebasar not considered a yad, not going to be tameh? When all you've cut is two tefachim worth. Once you've cut three, four, five tefachim worth, then even the tefach hasamach lebasar is going to be subject to the tumah. So that's not a raya when it says tefach hasamach lebasar tahar. Fine. Tama, kama, tana, kama kedei achiza. How much is kedei achiza? Tefach. Kedei achiza is one tefach. That's obviously what Rashi was assuming when he speaks about had you cut it exactly two tefachim, so you had one tefach plus the kedei achiza. Kedei achiza is one more tefach. I vatanya tefachayim, but didn't we learn that kedei achiza is two tefachim? Amar bai tefach kafel. It means a folded over tefach. So it turns out to be two tefachim. Tani namiachi, kama kedei achiza, tefach kafel. And we have a brace that says that way explicitly. It's not us, and we have Mishnah, talus shehiskul balakora, kivan shenikra ruba, shuvein uchiboru tahora. Let's say you have a garment that became tameh. So the simple thing to do is to be tovelit, and then it will become tahar. The other way to fix something that's become tameh, say kli cheres, can't be tovel a kli cheres. So how do you mitar kli cheres? You shover, you break it. So once you break it, even though each of the little pieces of pottery may be usable for something else, but they're no longer fit for their initial usage, you've been mitaher the kli cheres. Once you mevatel the initial usage, so let's say you have a talus, you have a large garment, it became tameh. So instead of toveling it, you decide that you're going to tear it, you're going to rip it. So once you rip it to the point where it's no longer usable as a talus, even though the cloth may still be usable as a handkerchief, may still be usable as other things, but it's no longer usable as a talus, it's now tahar. It loses the tumah it had without going through any real tara process. So let's say you begin to tear it. Kivan shenikra ruba shuvei nuchibra v'tahara. As soon as you rip the majority of it, it's no longer considered connected to itself. It's going to be tahar. Amr v'nachem amr v'arvua lo shanu al betalus tevulas yom. Demigo de lochas lavat lo lochais lavakar la ruba. That's only if the talus was a tevul yom. You've already been tovel the talus. You just need to wait till nightfall for it to become tahar. But you don't have time for nightfall. You need it right now to use betahara. So you start ripping it. So we say, since you weren't so careful with it, you weren't afraid to be tovel it. Even though that might have ruined it, so we're going to assume you're not going to be afraid to rip it either, and we don't have to make any such gezeros. You could just rip it; it will rely on you that you'll rip rove of it, and that will be good enough. But a regular talus that you've never shown that you're willing to destroy it, lo gazra lo, you're not allowed to just rip rove gezera dum lo asi lemikaruba, because then we make a gezera that if we let you rip only rove and not the entire thing, you might not come to rip the rove because you're going to be so hesitant to ruin the talus, because you never showed that you were willing to ruin the talus by putting it in the mikvah. So Amar Rabbi says, nah, shtei tshuvas bedavar. Two reasons why that's incorrect. First of all, if by a tvul yom you're going to allow him to do that, then people are going to think that the reason it became Torah was because of the tefillah, and people are going to think that that a tvul yom is already Torah, that you don't have to wait for nightfall, and that's a terrible thing. And furthermore, according to Rabbi Shimon, in Ola Sa'of, you're supposed to cut shnei simanim, rov shnei simanim, but you're not allowed to cut kol shnei simanim. What do you mean cut rov shnei simanim? We should make a gzeira. According to you, we should always make a gzeira. Maybe you're not going to cut rov. Just like we make such a gzeira by the talus. Talus says, what kind of kasha is that? My kushya, shiny asim degzer sakasavu shalola havdil. It's an iser to cut kol simanim over there. Over here by the talus, the ideal would be to cut it entirely to take away its tumah. No, what we're asking is, why do you only require a 51% rove? Require an 80% rove. You know, a rove that's really recognizable. We're not saying that you should require cutting the whole thing. That's nisa d'oraisa. We're saying you should require a much more recognizable rove. A simple rove shouldn't be enough. So Rav Yosef responds, the Kamer Gzeir Shem Yom Tzvila Bas Yom Ola, in terms of your claim that people are going to say that a Tzvila Bas Yom works, Kara mochiach ala, people will notice that you're ripping it. The tear should be mochiach, that it's not because of the tefillah that it became tar, it's because of the ripping. And that which you're concerned, how can we allow you to just cut 51% of the simanim of the Ola Sa'of? Aren't we concerned that they're going to cut less than that? No, Kohanim is reason him. You don't have to be choshed that Kohanim are going to cut less than that. Tashma, let's bring a raya. Mafshed bebeim b'chai b'tmei b'tahar b'daka b'gas l'shtiach k'dei achiza ha'yesim k'dei achiza tahar. So we said more than the k'dei achiza is already going to be tahar, but if you're going to make such k'zeros, amai l'gzer dimel l'asim l'mavada l'k'dei k'dei achiza v'kanaga b'tumav k'mentarina lay. Maybe you should make a k'zero that he's not going to do yesim k'dei achiza. He's only going to skin it k'dei achiza, and he's going to assume that it's tahar, and it's not going to be tahar. So ibetumadaraisa chinami. If the subject of our Mishnah was about a tumadaraisa, then in a chinami, we would be concerned. But hachem ha'eskin b'tumah d'rabbanan, since our Mishnah is only talking about a tumah d'rabbanan anyway, when we talk about tumah transferring from the person to the animal and vice versa, it's only tumah d'rabbanan anyway, we don't have to make such gzeros that maybe it's going to be less than k'dei achiza, more than k'dei achiza. You don't have to worry about it. You can assume that the person will be honest about what he's cutting, and he's not going to, you don't have to make a gzera le gzera, so to speak. So says Gemara, teinach tamei b'tahura. I understand very well, you say that Mishnah is talking about tumah d'rabbanan, when you're talking about a tamei person transferring tuma to the animal, to the meat of the animal, because a person might have tuma d'rabbanan. He might only be tame mid'rabbanan. But tar b'tumeya, tuma d'araisihi. But we're talking about the animal transferring tuma to the person. What's the tuma of the animal that we're speaking of? We're talking about tumas nevela. Tumas nevela is d'araisa. You can't say that that's tuma d'rabbanan. When we're talking about the skin being used as a yad to transfer the tuma from the animal to the person, that's tuma d'araisa. So answers the Gemara, no, who says nevela? Betrefa. We're talking about an animal that's a trefa. When the Mishnah talks about a tamei animal, an animal that's tamei, we're not talking about a behema tamea. We're talking about a behema tahora that was trefa, and it was shechted. It was found out to be trefa. So that's only tamei midrabanan. So frak the Gemara, tamei midrabanan, trefa bas to me, is trefa tamei at all? So in kedavu d'shmol, damravu d'shmol, trefa shechta metam mutashin. When it's hegdish, it is. A trefa animal is tamei in regards to Mukdashin, if it belongs to Hagdish. Tashma, Rabbi Dustai ben Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Shimon Omer, Amafsha Peshratzim Chibor, Ashi Afshat Eskulo. By Shratzim, it's all considered, the skinning is all considered to be a Chibor to the Sheretz until you skin it entirely. Habagamal in a Chibor, but that implies that by a Gamal, by even more than a Kadei Achiza, it's not considered a Chibor. So it says, Mara Lotema Habagamal in a Chibor, Eleima, Ba'or Shalat Savar in a Chibor. You want to make a diuk? So say that the Or Shalat Savar is not Chibor, but the rest of the animal, even more than Kedei Achiza, still is Chibur. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and we're assuming like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri about the Arshal at Safar that we had in Amud Aleph, that it's Eino Chibur. Amr of Hunam Yishum Rabbi Shum Bar Yossi, Loshu and Loshalashir Bakadema Afores. Aloshir Bakadema Afores Chibur. When we talk about ripping the garment, that's only if you didn't leave a large enough piece to the size of a Sudar. But if you left a piece the size of a Sudar, the size of a handkerchief, then it's still going to be considered Chibur. Amr, meaning attached. It's attached to the attachment between the two sides of the garment is still the size of a handkerchief. Amr Shalakishloshano Talis, Aval Or Cholim, and also the ripping it Berov only works to be metire a talis. But if you're talking about leather, ripping leather, then it could be repaired. And if it could be repaired, it's not metire. It's a talis, we assume once it's ripped, the repair is never going to look the same when you sew it up. But or you could fuse it together and make it somehow, sew it up in a way that it's still going to look good. So that's not going to work to just tear it up Berov. Rabbi Yochanan Rafilu or Nami Lochalim. Rabbi Yochanan says, nah, even or will never get back to its original state. Eisir, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan asks Reish Lakish, or tamei medris chishiv lav leretzulos v'sandalim. If you have or that is already tamei medris, it's already a zav, already sat on it, so it's already tamei, and you decide you want to make straps and or shoes out of that or kivan shenasen bo izemel tahar. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, as soon as you take the knife to that leather, it already becomes tahar, because you're already slicing it up from its original usage, so there it already becomes tahar according to Rabbi Yehuda. V'cham omrim l'cham say, no, you need to cut it down to size less than 5 tefachim, only then it will become tahar. But what do you see from there? But you see from there that when you do cut it down to size, it already becomes tahar. But according to you, that says that that or can always be repaired. Why don't you say that this will be repaired and therefore you didn't really ruin it by cutting it down to size? So why do you assume that it immediately becomes tar from the Tumas Medrash when you cut it down? So he said, no. Kika amri dechalim hecha dekatsari lehedya. Hacha b'mayaskinan b'makatzeo bolo derech svivosav. He says, no, there's a difference between how you cut. If you fold it over and you make a very straight line and you cut along the line, so then it's easy to sew when you rip something along a seam, when you cut something along a straight line. But we're talking about a case when you're making a sandalum out of it, where you're cutting circularly, you're cutting in a way that's not at all a straight line, where then even according to everybody, has no chance to be chalim, has no chance to get better and to be sewn back together to look like it did originally. Okay, we'll pick up from Masiv tomorrow.